message Lord put on my heart a few months ago in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 33 is where we're going to start. Ezekiel chapter 33. We'll read a few verses, then we'll pray. Ask the Lord to bless us and help us this morning. Ezekiel chapter 33, we'll start in verse 8. Ezekiel 33:8. I still hear some pages turning, so I'll wait a bit. It's page 913 in my Bible, if that helps you.
I'm 944.
We're close.
Yeah.
It's close. Ezekiel 33, we'll start in verse 8. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his ways to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for bringing all of us here today. I pray everyone has come this morning with a desire to draw closer to you and has opened their heart up to you. Lord, if there's any in this room or online that are hearing this message that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that today will be the day they trust you. Lord, I pray that they will not put it off any longer. If there's any in this room who you've been working on, or your desire, to have increase, I ask that you will help them see their need for following you, regardless of where it leads, regardless of what you ask us to do. I ask that you'll help each of us to learn to be a better watchman for you, that our hands will not be bloody with the blood of souls that we did not tell. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. My notes ready here. Question for you. Are you a watchman for Christ? Are we watchmen for Christ? I heard a no, but the answer should be yes. But sadly, no is often the right answer. Sadly, it is. We're going to read a little bit more in Ezekiel, starting in verse 1. But first, I want us to ask a question. If we are watchmen for, let's step away from spiritual sense right now. What does a watchman need to know? What does a watchman need to know? How to spot an enemy. He needs to know what to look for. How to spot that enemy. See what he's supposed to look for. Yes. He needs to know where to watch. Yes, if he's watching, say, within 50 feet of where he's at, that may not be far enough.
Right.
He needs to know to look far, know what to watch for, know where he's looking. What else does he need to know? It's a very vital one. Yes.
How to communicate.
How to sound that alarm.
Yeah.
If he does not know how to sound the alarm, what good is he?
Right.
He can see the enemy. He says, I know that's the enemy. I have no idea what to do about it. What good is he?
Right.
Or if he doesn't know what to look for and he's just sounding the alarm,
right.
It's like the shepherd, the boy that cried wolf.
Yeah.
Eventually, they don't even listen to it. What to watch for? How to sound the alarm? That's vital, but the Lord's given us an amazing gift. He's given us this book.
That's right.
The infallible Word of God, the truth of God, is in this book. It tells us not only what to look for, it tells us how to sound the alarm. Do we spend time in it? Anyways, we're going to think on those things. We're going to go back to Ezekiel 33, actually read a few more verses. Start in verse 1 of Ezekiel 33. Here's what the Lord has for us today. It says, "Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for a watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood will be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. If the watchmen see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from any of them or from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So then, O son of man, I have set to thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand." The Bible, the Word of God, the Word he has given us, it shows us first who God is. We talked about that a little this morning earlier for Sunday school, but for those of you who are not here, we'll ask. Or even if you are here, I'll still let you answer. Who is God? Who is God? He's the Creator. Who else is God? He's the Almighty. He's the Almighty Creator. We know the words omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, but get a little more specific. Who is God? He is the triune God, yes.
He's our leader.
He's our leader. What did I hear over here? I heard something. There's one very important one that I have not heard yet, even Sunday school or just now. Yes.
Father.
He's God the Father, yes. He's our adopted Father. One of them have not heard yet is Savior. He's our Savior. So praise. That's one of the first ones I expected to hear. You probably thought everyone already knew it, so he didn't bother saying it. Makes sense. All right, we'll turn to Isaiah chapter 6. This is a little bit of who God is. How do we see God? If we see God for who he truly is, it'll completely change not only our perspective of him, but how we live our lives, how we go about our daily life, hourly life. We know, see God for who he is. Isaiah here in Isaiah chapter 6 saw God for who he is. In verse 1 it says, "In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the Lord of hosts. One of my bosses at work, presently I'm still working a job, a secular job, I work for Reliable Comfort. One of my bosses at work asked me, he said, Donald, why? You're one of our best techs. You make us the most money. You're on track to be a millionaire in like 10, 20 years. Why are you leaving this career to go to another country to tell them to plant churches? Why? It doesn't really make sense if you just look at it from a human perspective. And Pastor Kaiser probably could be a lot wealthier if he just spent more time working and less time working at the church, for the church. We can make it. But why? Why then would we leave what's going very well and very profitable for us and go and say, God doesn't want me to do this anymore. He wants me to do this. Yeah. Why would we leave and do that? The answer is because we saw God for who He is. Amen. And the Lord set us as watchmen, and He showed us people like in Hungary. As far as I know, there's not even 10 good Bible-believing Baptist churches. There might be some that I don't know of. But looking in Indiana, I have a list of several churches in Indiana. It's not even all of them, all the good churches, but it's over 100 churches, different churches. In Indiana. In Hungary, that's less than 10. The Lord says, I need you to be a watchman over there for me. Thus we leave. It doesn't matter what our brain wants. It doesn't matter what our logical reasoning wants. What does God want you to do? Where does He want you to go? Does He want you to stay here? Which a lot of you, He probably does. Does He want you to go? But He does want you to tell. We are watchmen for Him. Romans 3. Look at Romans 3. Because the Bible not only shows us who God is, it shows us we've sinned against Him. Right. All of us are sinners. Amen. Romans 3, we're going to look in verse number 10. Verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Going to verse 12, they're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Question for you. Who here has never sinned? Go on and raise your hand. All right, so we all admit then we are sinners. We have sinned against God. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That leaves no one out. We have all sinned. The only person who has never sinned, the only person who has never sinned is Jesus Christ. And none of us are Jesus Christ. We've all sinned. The Bible shows us that. If you do not admit you are a sinner, which a lot of people in Hungary, a lot of people here in Indiana, a lot of people here in Indianapolis admit, they say they have not sinned. A lot of people think they're great, good people, or even if they sinned a little bit, they say, I've just done a little bit. The Lord will look over that. He will not. God is a holy God. Isaiah saw God for who He was. He said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And then next thing He says, he admits that He Himself is a sinner. All of us have sinned. It shows us who God is. It shows us we've all sinned. But you know what? What was the other thing a watchman needed to know? How to sound the alarm? What are we supposed to tell people? What are we supposed to tell people? It shows us we've earned a place in the lake of fire. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. We're sounding the alarm. Let people know you are going to die because of your sin. And that's not just talking about a physical death, which we all know, most of us here, possibly all of us will see. Revelation 20. Go on and turn there if you could with me. Revelation 20. This is a topic a lot of preachers today will not even touch. It is a topic that a lot of Hungarians don't even know about. A lot of people here in the States, in Indiana, they may know about it, but they completely ignore it because they don't like it. They don't like it. Revelation 20 says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast of the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books according to their works. Is your name written in the book of life? And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell were delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to the works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. When said in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, that's talking about the second death. Not only the physical, but also the second death. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is your name written in the book of life? Your friends, your co-workers, is their name written in the book of life? If not, what we saw in Ezekiel, if you have not told them about God and who God is and what He's done for you, if you have not been the watchman, their blood is on your hands. How bloody are your hands? The Bible not only shows us who God is, that we have sinned, and the penalty for sin, that we are going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. It shows us there's an option out. There is an option out. Pastor was mentioning it earlier today. There is an option out. It shows us Christ came and paid our debt. Christ came and paid our debt. In Ephesians 1, Ephesians 1, verse 5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It makes God happy to save us. That's what God wants to do, the good pleasure of His will. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. God wants to save us. God wants to save us. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But there is a little phrase, but that all should come to repentance. Right. It's our choice. Right. It's your choice. What are we doing about it? Are we letting other people know? Ask yourself this question. Have you come to repentance? If so, then you are now a watchman for Christ? Are you sounding that alarm and letting other people know? If not, their blood is on your hands. Because the Bible shows us in Acts chapter 16 how to redeem this payment. Because, you know what? The Bible does say death and hell were cast to the lake of fire because that's the second death, and that is what we have earned. Every single person in this room, in the entire world right now, has earned their place in the lake of fire. We've earned it. And it's coming our way. Payment's coming. Our friends, our co-workers, our family members, if they have not redeemed the free gift the Lord has given us, redeemed the payment for that sin that we have done, they're heading that way. Acts 16:30. The Philippian jailer, he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Have you ever asked that question? Have you ever answered that question for someone? "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." It is as simple as that. The part a lot most people are missing is the belief. But if we're watchmen for Christ, we can't just stop there. Because now that we believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are saved, we're set and good to go, right? We don't have to worry about anything else. We'll just take off and live our own lives. We can let other people know that they are sinners and dying going to hell. We've got that part covered. We'll tell them and go out and live our lives however we want. Is that the option the Lord gives us? Well, he does give us that option, but it's not the option we should choose. For example, 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show themselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." When you stand before God, are you going to be ashamed of the life you lived here on earth? Or instead, are you going to be able to lay out all the treasures and stuff you've collected, all the wealth you've collected? Are you going to be able to lay it at his feet and say, "Here are my crowns"? Are you going to be able to, because we deserve nothing, but the Lord's still going to reward us for this life, whether it's good or bad, he will reward us for this life. Are we going to have wood, hay, and stubble to lay at Jesus' feet, or gold, silver, precious stones? What are we going to have? Going to give a couple examples of some watchmen. Ezekiel 33, verse 8 and 9, we'll read those again. "When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked from his way, and to turn from it, if he doth not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." Anyone here ever hear of the trumpeter of Krakow? Anyone know of the trumpeter of Krakow besides Hannah? My mom read us this story growing up, and I thought everybody knew about it because I heard about it when I was probably like 8 or 9. So I thought everyone knew the trumpeter of Krakow, but I'm finding most people don't. Anyways, during the Tartar invasion of Poland in 1241, anyone here alive in 1241? All right. But the Tartars invaded Poland in 1241. There was a sentry, his name was Joseph. Joseph, he was posted at St. Mary's Cathedral. He was on top of the top tower, and he was looking out. And he was playing St. Mary's trumpet call from the church tower to warn the inhabitants of Krakow. He was warning them. He knew the alarm to sound. He knew how to communicate the warning. He alarmed them of the enemy troops nearing the city. While he was sounding the alarm, one of the Tartars shot up to the tower, and the arrow struck him. He stopped playing the call in the middle of the call. He ended up dying. But thanks to the sentry's bravery, thanks to Joseph's bravery, the citizens had enough time to hide, protect themselves, and arm themselves for the Tartars' invasion. What if Joseph had not given the warning? The city of Krakow would probably look different today. A lot of the people in those Poles in Krakow would have died. But he sounded the warning. What if he had sounded the warning and no one listened? Same thing. The same thing that would happen if he had not sounded the warning. But the difference was Joseph, the blood was not on his hands. The blood was on... If they had not listened, their blood would have been on their own hands. Another thing we think of is a little closer to home. You guys remember the attack on Pearl Harbor? There was an invasion coming. The Japanese were coming. Even the watchtower looking out, the radar, spotted something coming. They alerted Pearl Harbor that they saw something coming. So they had a warning. They didn't know what was coming because they didn't know exactly what to look for. It's like they sent a confused message. Are we sending a confused message? Or do we send a clear message? Well, give them credit. They did sound the warning. They did say, hey, something's coming. It may be a flock of geese, but something's coming. Yeah. But they were at least warned. Thousands of people died that day because they didn't listen to the alarm. There are people we are going to tell. There may be people in this room. There are people you're going to tell about Christ that are not going to listen. It's going to happen. But their blood is not on your hands. A much greater fate awaits all people. A much greater fate is coming to people than what happened at Pearl Harbor. A much greater crisis is at hand than what's going on presently in Ukraine. There's a much bigger problem, a much bigger fate coming, the eternal fate. We may be face war down here. We may die we try to help the people of Ukraine out, do the best we can to assist them. But there's a much greater goal, a much greater purpose coming. God is coming back someday. Christ will come and he will judge the wicked. He will judge the righteous. How is he going to judge you? All who know about this are responsible to spread the good news. We are responsible to spread the good news. If we do not share the gospel, their blood is on our hands. If we share the gospel, the blood is not on our hands. We are all watchmen for Christ. My question for you, are you doing your job? Are we doing our job? I'm guessing there's probably blood on each of our hands of people we have not told that the Lord told us to tell. there's probably blood on each of our hands. How much more bloody do you want your hands to get? Are you going to let them get? Or are we going to say, from this day forth, I'm going to be a good watchman for Christ? We'll pray, then I'll turn it over to Pastor. Dear Lord, I ask you to be with each of us. Help keep Ezekiel 33, verses 8 and 9 in our minds. Help us to remember every day, every time you work in our hearts, that there are people around us dying and going to hell, and they need the gospel. I say you'll help each of us to remember to share that as we go forth from day to day. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to an audio message from McGregor Road Baptist Church. We are located on the southeast side of Indianapolis, Indiana. To learn more about our church, visit www.actonschurch.com. You can also call us at 317-862-3414. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you as you seek to grow in the Lord.